It's Thursday, June 4th, 2020. I'm Stephen Fee, and this is the Pen Pod, a limited-run podcast from Pen America. On today's edition, it's the 31st anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre, and we're announcing the winner of our 2020 Pen Barbie Freedom to Write Award, imprisoned Chinese activist and essayist Xu Zhiyong. We speak to his friend and colleague, Tiang Biao. Then, these truths. Take a listen to an excerpt from our World Voices Festival podcast. We hear a conversation between Mexican authors Fernanda Melchor and Yuri Herrera. I'm Stephen Fee. All that coming up on the Pen Pod. Today we announce the recipient of our 2020 Pen Barbie Freedom to Write Award, Chinese writer and civil rights leader Xu Zhiyong. Xu has long been a forceful voice for change in China, and earlier this year wrote an essay critical of China's president. He's been held incommunicado since February of this year, and it's believed he will soon be charged with subverting state power, a charge that can carry a 15-year prison sentence. For more on Xu's work, I spoke earlier this week with scholar and activist Tiang Biao. I started by asking him who Xu Zhiyong is and what role he's played in pressing for human rights in China.
Xu Zhiyong decided to fight for human rights and democracy in China when he was a high school student. And then we were classmates in Peking University. After we got PhD, he taught at the university in Beijing. And then in 2003, we involved in a very influential case. And since then, he became one of the leading human rights activists in China. We founded Gongmeng, the Open Constitution Initiative, in 2003. And Gongmeng then became one of the leading NGOs focusing on human rights issues in China. Because of his work, he has been arrested and put under house arrest and sentenced for a few times. So he played a very, very significant role in the human rights movement in China since early 2000.
Right. And so as you mentioned, I mean, this isn't his first brush with imprisonment and house arrest in his past. I'm wondering, how do you believe he's been able to persevere despite China's insistence on silencing him?
In 2009, Gongmeng was shut down and Dr. Xu Zhiyong was arrested and detained for a month. That's his first detention. And then he continued his human rights work, and he was banned from teaching by the university and eventually fired by the university. And in 2013, because of his leading in the New Citizens Movement, he was arrested and then sentenced for 4 years. After serving 4 years in prison, he started his citizens movement again. And so he was very, very courageous. And then we know last December, he organized a meeting in Xiamen City, and some human rights activists and lawyers were arrested after that meeting. And Xu Zhiyong himself continued to write articles and tweets critical of Xi Jinping and Chinese government. Critical of the government's handling of coronavirus. And then he was arrested in on February 15th.
So what do we know about his status at this time? What do you hear from activists on the ground?
His family, his lawyers were not allowed to meet him. So he was kept incommunicado since he lost freedom. And His girlfriend Li Qiaochu, who was calling for his release, and also a human rights activist, was arrested one day after Xu Jun was disappeared. So we have very, very limited information of Xu Jun's current situation. And the local police told his family that he might be charged with incitement of state subversion or state subversion. And according to the lawyers who were detained previously, every human rights lawyer who were kept in the RSDL, the kind of enforced disappearance, has been tortured. So I worried very much about he might have been tortured now.
Yeah, it's a scary time for him and his family and those who know him. I wonder, you know, as you said before, you know, he's already endured so much. Why do you think his work is critical right now? Why is his writing so important right now amid a global pandemic?
Yeah, the coronavirus gave us a lesson that the freedom of expression, free speech, actually related not only to human rights and human dignity, but also to people's health and life. If Chinese government did not cover up the truth of coronavirus and did not suppress the whistleblowers, the citizen journalists, and this coronavirus won't be so serious. It could be easily controlled in the very early stage. So the people fighting for freedom of expression in China actually are fighting for people's health and life, not only in China, but also the whole world. In other words, China's one-party rule, China's atrocity, human rights violation, had been a threat to global freedom and global security.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is indeed life-saving work. So finally, you know, PEN America named China as the top jailer of writers in 2019. You know, what is the climate like writ large in China right now for those trying to speak out?
Yeah, since Xi Jinping, first Chinese government always suppressed people's freedom and fundamental human rights. It's a one-party rule, and it never tolerates people's challenge to the monopoly of power. Many human rights lawyers and bloggers, writers, religious activists were persecuted. And since Xi Jinping came to power in 2013, the human rights situation is deteriorating. So the human rights activists were frequently taken away, and many have been tortured. The censorship on internet on the campus are more strict than before. Yesterday, activist was detained after he participated in the online vigil commemoration of Tiananmen Massacre. And we know in Xinjiang, more than 2 million Uyghurs and ethnic minorities have been detained in the concentration camps. That's the worst humanitarian disaster in 21st century. And also Hong Kong, you know, recently the National People's Congress passed a decision of Hong Kong's national security law. So the Communist Party wants to deprive the people, Hong Kong people, of fundamental freedom. They want to punish the people in Hong Kong who criticize the government or the party. So that's really, really alerting. Another point is Chinese government is using high technology to tighten its control on society, like facial recognition, voice print recognition, big data, like DNA, artificial intelligence, all have been used by the communist government to establish what I call high-tech totalitarianism. And this high-tech totalitarianism is unprecedented, and it is a threat to global human rights and freedom.
Well, we so appreciate your work, Tang Biao, who is a colleague and friend of our 2020 Penn Barbie Freedom to Write awardee, Chinese writer and civil rights leader Xu Zhiyong. Tang Biao, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for supporting human rights in China.
And now, an excerpt of a conversation between Mexican authors Fernanda Melchor and Yuri Herrera. It's part of our These Truths podcast, part of our World Voices Festival.
For me, exploring reality through literature is always trying to understand. There is this song of Spaniard singer Alejandro Sanz, and he has this song that's called Amiga. I love quoting pop references and pop music all the time. And there's a part when he tries to explain why is he singing this song to his girlfriend, and he says, "This is not my job. This is my language." And for me, writing a novel is just that. It's never a job. It's more like the language I talk to try to explain myself what the hell is going on in the world.
Everything you say really resonates with many things that I have thought, but you say it much better. Because the truth or reality is not a rigid, stable thing to grasp, but it's something that we recreate using our emotions. The emotional relation we have with reality is part of the truth. That's something that I was thinking. And that's something that I also wanted to ask you regarding the narrative voice of Hurricane Season, because this narrative voice is at the same time a sort of character without a body, and also like a synthesis of and the ethical way in which you try to approach this terrible, terrible world. And I feel that even though you talk about all this cruelty and about all this moral misery, and for me, this is one of the great achievements of your novel, you also get to be really respectful in some other level towards the people that populate your book. So I wanted to ask, how do you create this voice? And if there is certain conscious attitude that you want to imprint in the text that has to do with respecting the dignity of the people populating your story.
One of the hardest things of writing Hurricane Season was exactly the narrative voice. It was a search that took me lots of months of just writing a lot without being able to find what I'd really wanted for the novel. But I tend to write a lot, and then while writing, trying to figure out what the hell I want to write. I envy the novelists that are able to, you know, do their outlines and then fill in the information. And sometimes I wish I could write like that. And I've tried to write like that. It ends up being another different things that I find during the process. It's something also, oh, how do you say brújula in English? As being guided by
a compass.
By a compass, more than guided by a map. you know? So after reading this news story and then deciding that it was too dangerous to go to Ciudad Cardel in Veracruz because it was full with narcos. So I decided to do a fiction novel. I already had like the characters. I had the victim, the witch. I had murderers, the witnesses. And I had a scenario. I had this small village in an area of Veracruz that I knew really well. So I started working from there. And the first thing that I started to write was like these voices of women of the town telling the story of the murder. I always wanted the narrative voice to have this gossip-like quality. For me, that was very important. And I wanted it to be a small tribute to the voices of my mom, my aunts, my grandmothers, when they used to hang around and just start telling scary stories. And I remember being a child and I pretended I was sleeping so I could hear, and they will start talking things that normally they wouldn't say in front of me.
You can listen to that entire conversation on our These Truths podcast. You can find it at our website, pen.org. And that's our episode for Thursday, June 4th, 2020. Join us tomorrow for the Pen Pod. You can listen to all our episodes at pen.org. Follow us at Pen America on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Sign up on our website for our daily Dare newsletter. That's where we track major stories about literature, free expression, and the news of the world. I'm Stephen Fee for Pen America. This is the Pen Pod. See you tomorrow.